Pray as we stand. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Please be seated. 16. We're looking at the events of that first Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, surrounded by crowds waving palm branches, shouting, Hosanna. And the reason that we follow the church calendar is that it helps to remind us that Christianity, our Christian faith, rests on those real historical events of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place all those years ago. For Christianity isn't essentially an ethical way to live. It's not essentially a moral code or a philosophy of life. Our faith is completely bound to those events of 2,000 years ago, so that if you take them away, if you can prove that they're not true, if you can show that they didn't happen, Christianity collapses completely. Christianity is news about something that has happened in history, something that changed the world forever, and something that has the power to change our lives here and now. Christianity is primarily good news, not good advice. Good advice suggests that we need to do something. Good news tells us about what Jesus has done. And so this morning we're looking at that, at this historical event in the life of Jesus Christ that took place on the Sunday before the Friday of his crucifixion. And so there are three simple points to guide us through the text this morning. First, Jesus is the son of David. Second, Jesus is the gentle son of David. And third, Jesus is our son of David. So first then, Jesus is the son of David. Well, what exactly happened on that first Palm Sunday? Was it that as the crowds got nearer and nearer to Jerusalem, their excitement grew and grew as they were approaching the city, and they could see the temple on the hill, and their enthusiasm got into such a fervor that they took Jesus and set him on a donkey and then shouted Hosanna. But the text tells us that it happened quite differently. Look at verses 1 and 2. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." And then verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. It wasn't the crowd who initiated this. It wasn't the disciples who arranged it. It was Jesus. And in the middle of this crowd, walking from Galilee to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and at just this strategic point as they come near to Jerusalem, Jesus purposely draws enormous attention to himself by carefully planning and carrying out this ride on the donkey. First, in a crowd of people on foot, someone on a donkey is bound to attract attention. But secondly, and most importantly, do you see the significance that the crowds attach to Jesus riding on the donkey? They throw their cloaks on the road. They cut down the palm branches. They shout to cry, Hosanna, after they see Jesus on the donkey, not before. And so the crowd doesn't get excited and put Jesus on the donkey. They see Jesus on the donkey, and immediately it triggers something in their minds. They recognize the symbolism. They know what it means, and then they get excited. Well, what does it mean? Matthew tells us in verse 4 and 5, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. And Matthew is quoting Zechariah's prophecy that predicts that Israel's ultimate king, her Messiah, the son of David, he will appear riding on a donkey. And not only so, but every religious Jew would have been familiar with Jacob's prophecy as he spoke to his sons when he was dying. And in Genesis 49, he says this: "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from beneath his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to his vine, and his colt to his choicest branch." And so when Jesus makes this arrangement to use the donkey, when he sees the crowd nearing Jerusalem, when he sends his disciples to bring the donkey, and when right in front of this crowd he rides it into Jerusalem, he knows exactly the attention he's bringing on himself. He's saying in the loudest possible way, "I am the Messiah. I am the one you've been waiting for. I am your king." And when the crowds throw their cloaks on the road and wave their palm branches and shout, "Hosanna," they're showing in response that they understood exactly the message that Jesus had intended to send. But now think for a moment. Why would he do that? We've seen here that everything happened just as Jesus had planned. Jesus knew what would happen. Jesus wanted it to happen. But why? Well, as most of you know, I'm a GP. And at one of the practices where I work, we have a very challenging patient, and she pretends to have seizures. And she'll come into the waiting room and look for two things: an audience and a soft landing. And then she'll pretend with great drama to have a seizure. And it really is a real nuisance, and it is attention-seeking. But here's the point. If Jesus is not who he claims to be, that's all Palm Sunday is: attention-seeking behavior. Either Jesus is revealing himself as the true Son of David, the Messianic King, the Son of God himself, and we owe him our worship, or else he's simply the worst kind of attention seeker who hasn't set out just to deceive my waiting room, but to deceive all these pilgrims and faithful of Israel. So the question for us this morning is, who is this? Is he just an attention seeker, or is he the Son of David? But second, Jesus is the gentle Son of David. When we think of a donkey, a grown man riding a donkey, it seems faintly absurd. And a donkey just doesn't seem like the right thing for a king to be riding. Is that the message Jesus was sending out, that he's willing to make himself look almost like a joke? Or does he do it to emphasize his humility? You know, often we read this passage and too quickly we jump to the conclusion that donkey means peace, horse means war, or donkey means weak and horse means strong, donkey means humble and horse means proud. But verse 5 doesn't say that he's gentle because he's riding a donkey. It says he's gentle and he's riding a donkey. Now remember, in the Old Testament, David had a son called Absalom, and Absalom rebelled against his father David. And remember how the story goes that he was killed when he was riding and he was caught in a tree. And remember what he was riding. He was riding a mule or a donkey, not a horse. And so he was fighting a civil war against his father. You don't get really much more violent or vicious than that. So riding a donkey or a mule doesn't immediately exclude all association with war or violence. And even more importantly, there's a dramatic scene in 1 Kings 1 where Israel's greatest king David is lying on his deathbed. And he has chosen his son Solomon to be his heir. But even before David dies, another son, Adonijah, appoints himself king and claims the throne. And so Solomon's mother Bathsheba comes to David as he's dying and tells him this because she's afraid that Adonijah will turn round and kill all his brothers so that he has no rivals to the throne. And David rallies in his deathbed, and listen to what he says. "Have Solomon, my son, mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!'" And then the story goes on. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, went down and had Solomon mount David's mule. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. And then the news reaches Adonijah in verse 43. Our Lord God, David the king, has made Solomon king. The king has sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and they have put him on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king." And so the fact that Solomon was too, and that he did ride David's mule, is repeated three times.